When Nicodemus further questions Jesus about the need to achieve the next stage of birth, Jesus replies, "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Thus, by virtue of his words, Jesus is not speaking only of himself, that is, in the singular, but rather, he is speaking in the plural with respect to the higher reality that all who achieve the next stage of birth know, have seen, and can witness to. And when Nicodemus still did not understand what Jesus was stating with respect to the need to bring about the next stage of birth, Jesus stated that he was yet too carnal and immature to comprehend that is. If I have told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And this higher reality remains as true today, as when Jesus stated these words to Nicodemus, organic man who does not understand the need to bring about the next stages of soul and spiritual births, are incapable of understanding the heavenly things, and even fail to understand the esoteric reality of what Jesus portrayed as earthly things. In posing the question, is achieving this next stage of birth a religious belief? Not at all. The answer is found in the question, is sex and procreation a religious belief? It is very much a fact of life that is the birthright of every man, woman, and child to be aware of. Jesus asked Nicodemus, how can you be called a teacher and not understand these realities of earthly life that have been presented to you? And this question has been presented to all people sectarian and non-sectarian alike who purport to be teachers. Why? To put oneself forth as a teacher and not understand the process that brings about the next stage of developmental birth is to be the equivalent of an abortionist robbing the children of the factual knowledge that provides them permanence. And it is a fact that as a people, mankind is more often than not inhibited from inheriting his destiny by those who teach him than by any other force of obstruction to achieving his rightful destiny. Counterfeit teachers and pseudo-secular authorities have destroyed more innocent lives than all the wars and conflicts throughout man's history. From a modern cultural perspective, the atheists and secular progressives on the left have made war on and murdered more innocent men, women, and children than George Bush, who they proclaim to be a murderer. In view of this fact, the question must be posed, is there consequences in one's choosing to place themselves in a position of authority of teaching another? Jesus taught that there are consequences to all our actions and is a witness to these consequences. I am merely writing to confirm the facts that cause men and women to inflict harm upon themselves by virtue of the consequences of their choices and actions. One of man's unalienable rights is that of free will, and ultimately, every individual has the unalienable right to take their own life through any means of their choosing. And yet, when they impose their will in any manner upon another, then the laws return upon them tenfold the fruit of their own actions and ways, that is, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity, he who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Rev 13, 9-10 NKJ. Jesus warned that organic man is blind to his own higher reality, and that he dwells in the outer darkness of mind and being, outer darkness. While a person of faith merely accepts this statement of Jesus at his word, a true scientist and investigator would want to know what inherent conditions in man's physical reality of being brings this blindness to man's own higher reality about. To simply ignore and attempt to dismiss so many witnesses from so many diverse cultures and religions is not only self-deception but constitutes a form of suicide. And the fact that modern science has now recognized the reality of Jesus' words, realizing that the etheric field that man is blind to is the very source of not only what he sees but also his very essence of being, and yet, our culture continues to walk the path of denial and self-imposed ignorance, must be seen as pure lunacy. Plato portrayed this condition of blindness as the illusions of this world in his analogy known as Plato's Cave. Yet, few men ask why. Why would Plato portray man as dwelling in a world of illusions? To simply dismiss without attempting to understand what Plato was attempting to convey is the squandering away of one's life. And if the question is asked, if there is a God, why would we be subject to a world of illusions such as that which is portrayed in the analogy of Plato's cave? From a Christian perspective, if there is a God, why would man be subject to what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, outer darkness? While the traditional faith-based churches who have brought upon themselves a vow of ignorance that alienates them from the essential knowledge that was revealed only to the core disciples, a sincere investigator would want to answer these paramount questions. A true Gnostic who seeks an enlightened awareness by attaining a higher vision of man's reality understands that this condition of blindness is all within the natural order of birth, the process of which is controlled by the laws which bring about our proper development through cycles and phases of individual evolution. That this knowledge has been known from ancient times, and man has chosen to ignore it, is merely the folly of man's own self-destructive ways. Few modern-day philosophers are capable of understanding what they see in the outer world because they are too busy attempting to fix what they fail to understand the nature of. Yet, the clue lies in Jesus' statement that, unless you bring about the next stage of birth, that you can't enter the kingdom of God and have no place in it. And perhaps just as important is the warning that those who inhibit the choices and destiny of others will inherit tenfold the consequences of their own actions towards their brothers and sisters. Further, the Jewish mystic portrays a parallel reality with respect to the inner meaning of the Torah/Old Testament, that is. Thus the tales related in the Torah are simply her outer garments, and woe to the man who regards that outer garb as the Torah itself, for such a man will be deprived of portion in the next world. See, no Jew has read the Torah. And when it is realized that the true nature and reality of the Torah is that of a marriage and birth manual, we can then begin to understand why Jesus asked Nicodemus how he could be a teacher among the Jews and not understand the next stage and process of birth. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" John 3:1-12 in KJ. Which means that those sectarian or secular authorities and cultural philosophers who in any manner inhibit others from bringing about this next stage of birth will themselves be barred from both the knowledge and the means to bring about that next stage of birth within themselves. While the laws provide mankind the opportunity to fulfill his destiny, it is the exercise of man's free will, coupled with his self-imposed ignorance, that inhibits his own development with the construct and design of the laws of creation. Depending upon our own actions, the laws will either inhibit or even supercharge our efforts. Thus, in the same way that the laws of creation as portrayed in the words, the laws of nature and nature's God, inhibits physical birth without the proper interaction of male and female, even subject to the cycles of female ovulation, these same indigenous laws that can be portrayed as an integral part of our DNA, inhibits anyone from progressing beyond a very rudimentary human level of development, unless they actively assist their brothers and sisters in creating within themselves the necessary environment to bring about the next stage of birth. In the same way that there are physical actions that must precede conception, there are conditions on both a physical and mental level that must precede the process of mental conception that brings about the necessary heightening and enlargement of human consciousness which enables the next stage of birth to be brought about. Yet, in failing to understand the movement of the laws that control all people and realities in this world, fewer yet understand that those who fail to teach and convey these necessary conditions to those who are in their care are themselves barred by what can only be portrayed as the indigenous and organic laws of creation from making any progress themselves. And what I am stating only provides great light on the gospel teaching that as you do unto others, the same will be returned to you. What this means is that, in the same way that the indigenous laws of creation control the process of physical birth, these same indigenous laws of creation inhibit the would-be teachers and pseudo-intellectuals who put themselves forth as teachers from making any progress of development that would bring about the necessary heightening and enlargement of human consciousness which enables the next stage of birth to be brought about within themselves. Part of the process of heightening and enlargement of human consciousness which enables the next stage of birth to be brought about can only be embraced when an elder person guides younger people into the necessary mindset and lifestyle that supports bringing about the next stages of birth. Thus, those who fail to instruct with the example of their own lives are themselves inhibited from making any progress beyond a very rudimentary human level of understanding. And this is true with respect to parents and all secular and sectarian teachers and guides. That the leaders of the modern church totally fail to understand the principles and conditions of bringing about the next stage of birth is because they preach and teach the traditions and doctrines of men. And this same reality is just as valid as to why the secular teachers and philosophers of this world all fail to understand the necessary conditions and even requirements to bring about the next stage of birth, and are themselves mentally flatlined from making any progress beyond their present limitations which they have brought upon themselves by virtue of the laws of creation and the laws of nature and nature's God. The important point that I am presenting is this. Achieving the next stage of birth has absolutely nothing to do with what man would define as religious or philosophical beliefs, but rather is a fact of life that is an integral part of the destiny of all of mankind. Religion or philosophy, on the other hand, has nothing to do with the destiny itself, but rather is the mindset and associated lifestyle that one chooses to embrace in order to facilitate and bring about this next stage of birth and bring about one's ultimate destiny. The religious person often believes that every child is the creation of God, while the atheist does not. And in the same way that believer and non-believer equally procreate, all of mankind must equally bring about the next stage of birth. As stated to Nicomedes, "If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" As I have already demonstrated, with respect to man's higher soul reality, he already exists in what the scriptures portray as a state of death. See, the dead know nothing. And allegorically, the resurrection is the process of birth that restores life to mankind that dwells in this state of death. That this resurrection from death must be brought about while the person is still in the body vessel is presented in the Gospel of Philip, which declares, "Those who say that first they shall die, and then they shall arise, are confused. If they do not first receive the resurrection, while they live, they will not receive anything. When they die, see divine manna." Which means that the process of birth that is presented in the scriptures has absolutely nothing to do with belief or faith in an afterlife, but rather the continuation of the birth process that began at physical conception. With respect to the belief of the carnal believer in the physical resurrection of Jesus that is presented in the Gospels, which allegorically portrays a spiritual meaning that is universal to all of mankind, the Church Father Origen wrote that this doctrine of a physical resurrection was preached in the churches for the simple-minded and for the ears of the common crowd who are led on to live better lives by their belief. See Origen, Contra Celsum. Once again, in view of the fact that the next stages of birth is an integral part of the birth process that was initiated at physical conception, to censor the knowledge of these necessary stages of birth from an American perspective is unconstitutional. Regardless of what they believe, in the same way that both the religious person as well as the atheist have the inherent ability to procreate and bring children into the world, both equally possess the potential to bring about the next stages of birth that brings permanence. Holographically, what is true from a purely physical perspective is also true with respect to the next level of birth, that is, regardless of one's religious beliefs or lack of beliefs thereof, all of mankind has the potential and innate capacity to bring about the next stage of birth that is an integral part of man's physical and spiritual DNA. Moreover, it does not matter whether the atheist or believer subscribes to what is being presented. The only part of the equation is whether one believes in the inherent rights of man. It is important to recognize the workings of the laws in all things, and that in the same way that the clergy of organized religion creates a body of believers, they also create a body of unbelievers. The law is that any movement in one direction initiates a corresponding movement in an opposite direction. And this is demonstrated in the fact that both believers and their atheist opposites both promote essential truths that are lacking in their opposites, and the higher truth can only be found in the evolved third force that is generated by the duality of the two. Therefore, once properly understood, the allegorical scriptures are intentionally written with untruths and absurdities purposely written into the text, so that rationally minded readers will look beyond the letter of the written word. Thus, the Church Father Origen writes, What man of sense will agree with the statement that the first, second, and third days in which the evening is named and the morning were without sun, moon, and stars, and the first day without a heaven? What man has found such an idiot as to suppose that God planted trees in paradise in Eden, like a husbandman, and planted therein the tree of life, perceptible to the eyes and senses, which gave life to the eater thereof, and another tree which gave to the eater thereof a knowledge of good and evil? I believe that every man must hold these things for images, under which the hidden sense lies concealed. Origen, Hutt. Prigeniana, 167 Frank, page 142. Because this next level of birth is that of higher mind, and is dependent upon the conscious expansion of mind, and the expansion of mind evolves those spheres of mind that are beyond the vibration of the physical matter that comprises the brain and organic consciousness of the body vessel. Those believers who Origen portrays above as idiots simply cannot progress beyond a very elementary level of understanding. Yet, unbelievers who are able to respond to greater truth when it is provided have the potential that others who are not discerning do not. The cosmic ovum and sperm, in the previous subheadings, an understanding of the divine pattern is presented as being the holographic reality within which all of creation exists. And if a person is to begin to understand the higher reality of the soul and what the biblical authors portrayed as the mysteries of the kingdom of God, a higher reality of mind, and being that the authors of the scriptures warned was incomprehensible to the very limited thinking of man in his organic, natural state of mind, then it is imperative to understand that from a holographic perspective, what we observe in the physical is in fact the very pattern of the soul and spiritual natures that is beyond our limited vision and understanding, and ultimately, the kingdom of God itself. And what this also means is that our physical birth into this world is only the first stage of birth, but when these subsequent stages are understood, the holographic pattern remains the same. While in previous subheadings we explored the Logos/Son of God that is at the very center of our being, in subsequent chapters we will expand our comprehension of the Trinity and the divine pattern of creation, along with the esoteric realities of the virgin birth and the generative power of God, and we will further explore the very patterns of mind that we must expand, evolve, and seek wholeness and balance. But from a holographic perspective, in the same way that we began our journey into this life as a united sperm and ovum that became an embryo which then evolved into a fetus, unless we understand the ramifications and reality of this pattern that is presented to us in the physical, it will be difficult to impossible for us to move beyond this present point in our mental and spiritual development. Most people are inhibited from experiencing this next stage of birth because of their rightful expression of free will. From a higher perspective, their own lack of development is often self-imposed, and they unknowingly obstruct the birth process that must take place within their own mind and being, because of the organic laws that return to each person the fruit of their own choices. Because the next stage of birth is one of mind, and is a more lengthy process, the organic laws of creation brings about this next stage of birth by returning to each person the fruit of their own actions. That is, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows, Gal 6, 7 NIV. And in the same way that from one fertilized ovum, a single cell embryo is formed, and from this one cell the organic laws form all the organs and systems of the complex body that serves as a vessel for the soul, while in this realm these same organic laws begin to develop the mind. Once the child completes the first stage of birth, which is their physical birth into this world, and in the same way that the development of the embryo in the womb of its mother necessitates the evolutionary process of the physical, the birth and the physical, and the subsequent development of the body, necessitates the evolutionary process of the development of the mind in pursuit of the next stage of the threefold birth process. As it is written, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." ESA 55, 8-11 NKJ. And from a higher spiritual perspective, there is no such thing as failure, only the necessary evolutionary processes that ensure ultimate success. Therefore, while the process of mental and spiritual evolutionary growth require the exercise of free will and the tests of choice, in order for the mind to properly develop, it is necessary for the results of each person's choices and actions to be returned back to them as in a mental biofeedback. Growth and development is therefore guaranteed, because the laws that control all events and realities in the earth act as an individualized biofeedback for each person that is. A man reaps what he sows. As a biofeedback reflective reality, not only are each person's actions returned back to them, but they are perpetually returned back to the level of development where they are at from life, until wholeness and completion is achieved. And this continued process of birth is true, regardless of each person's beliefs or unbeliefs. In the same way that you will physically die regardless of your beliefs about death, your higher soul self will continue to evolve, because you represent only one phase in the developmental destiny of your soul as it moves from the alpha of ignorance to the omega of enlightened light and being. Often the mental birth process is aborted, because the person either actively or passively supports those who inhibit others, whether through the power of church or state. Thus, the words of Jesus are universal to all of mankind and their leaders. That is, how terrible it will be for you experts in religious law, for you hide the key to knowledge from the people. You don't enter the kingdom yourselves, and you prevent others from entering. Luke 11:52 C. Key of knowledge. The fact that the people follow blind guides who have thrown away the key of knowledge, failing to enter in the kingdom themselves, is what brings about their own self-destruction. And that one group of people does not believe that mankind possesses the innate ability to enter the kingdom when the key of knowledge is properly utilized, must not in any manner inhibit others from seeking their own destiny. To understand how we obstruct the birth process either within ourselves or others, it is important to comprehend how this second stage of birth is brought about. All of creation is imbued with a divine pattern, and holographically, this pattern is replicated into all the fragments and substructures within all aspects of creation. Therefore, if we understand the pattern in the physical, we can then apply this pattern to the next stage of birth. And if we begin at the most basic point in our endeavor to understand the laws and the design, especially in view of the fact that all of creation is replicated into every aspect of the whole from the macrocosm into the microcosm, we are then able to gain an insight into all subsequent stages of development and birth. When we pose the question and explore what is needed in the physical birth process, we can then come to understand the subsequent stages of birth that must be brought about. Thus, the primary element to the equation of birth is seen in the interaction of biological opposites and the fact that you need a male and female coming together in the exchange of seed essence under the proper conditions and the necessary environment to stimulate and maintain the growth process, in order for the third force offspring of the equation to come into being. The ovum of the mother must be properly fertilized with the sperm of the father, with the proper balance of chromosomes, at which time it becomes an embryo that must successfully attach to the mother. As a developing fetus, it must be properly nourished and within the womb, must be maintained in this controlled environment where proper development can occur. Unlike much of the animal kingdom, the offspring of which is often self-sufficient from birth, this process of human development and attachment to the parents must continue for years after the fetus emerges out of the environment of the womb of the mother. And what this means is that if the physical is a holographical pattern of all levels of being, and the same pattern that is presented in the physical birth process also exists in a much more complex reality in the next stage of birth, which Jesus said was absolutely necessary, then it can be demonstrated that few people understand this present world in which man dwells. Speaking of the reality of this world in which man presently finds himself, the Apostle Peter is quoted in the homilies of his disciple Clement as saying, "But the world that now is temporary. That which shall be is eternal. First is ignorance, then knowledge." So also has he arranged the leaders of prophecy. For since the present world is female, as a mother bringing forth the souls of her children, but the world to come as male, as a father receiving his children from their mother. And in accord with the realities of the holographic divine pattern of creation, this statement is not only true beyond most men's organic perception, but is one of the primary reasons why the more spiritual Gospels and New Covenant writings were never given into the hands of either the Jews or Gentiles. As presented in the Epistle of Peter and James, where it is written, "Hear me, brethren and fellow servants. If we should give the books to all indiscriminately, and they should be corrupted by any daring men, or be perverted by interpretations, as you have heard that some have already done, it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. Wherefore it is better that they should be with us, and that we should communicate them with all the forementioned care to those who wish to live piously, and to save others. In their failure to understand what they see in the outer realities of this world, a world which Peter portrays as being female, or even their purpose and objective of being in this world, they are doomed to the reality presented in the words that even if they are sincere seekers, it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. And until they begin to understand why the disciple Peter portrayed this world as being female, there will be little hope for their progress beyond the lowest of organic levels of consciousness. Paul warns that man's higher reality is beyond the comprehension of organic man who he portrays of a natural mind, see mystery, even stating that it is not lawful for him to reveal what he has witnessed on his journey into the kingdom to the Christian believers of the simple faith, 2 Cor 1-4, who are too immature to understand the esoteric truths of the gospel and the mysteries of the kingdom.
Yet,
to their own demise, entry-level believers perpetually skip over these many warnings, as if they were exempt from what is stated throughout the scriptures. In the martyrdom of Ignatius, first century overseer of Antioch, Ignatius speaks of himself as a disciple of John. In his epistle to the Ephesians, he writes that he has been initiated into the mysteries of the gospel with Paul, the holy, the martyr. In his epistle to the Tralas, he speaks of the mysteries and writes, "Might I not write to you things more full of mystery? But I fear to do so, lest I should inflict injury on you who are babes. Pardon me in this respect, lest, as not being able to receive their weighty import, ye should be strangled by them." Ignatius also writes that though he is aware of the mysteries, he is not yet by any means perfect, nor am I such a disciple as Paul or Peter. What could these first century authorities, as well as the scriptures itself, possibly be making reference to with respect to spiritual concepts that organic man, as well as baptized and confirmed believers, are incapable of comprehending? In the same way that an embryo does not yet possess the maturity to prematurely sustain life outside the physical womb, neither does an entry-level Christian possess the mental and spiritual maturity to comprehend the higher reality beyond their very limited organic physical reasoning and understanding. And what Paul portrays as the testimony of Jesus and Him crucified, see mystery, is representative of religious baby speak that assists the believer to begin the process of growth and developmental maturity. In addition to the fact that few men who are limited by the physical organic reasoning are even capable of envisioning their true higher reality of soul and the kingdom of God, it is inconceivable for them to even begin to apply the holographic pattern of physical birth to their present condition with respect to Jesus' warning that unless they achieve this next stage of birth, that it will be impossible for them to enter into life in the kingdom of God. And this fact is one of the primary reasons why Jesus warned that the majority of people are walking the broad way of self-destruction, and why, while many are called, only a very few are ever chosen. And it is this almost inconceivable enigma with respect to the higher reality of both the soul and the illusions of this world that it is warned that even in the case of sincere seekers, it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. Perhaps the greatest destructive force of what many call the pitfalls of ego is the illusion that they know the delusion that these warnings don't apply to them, and that they are somehow exempt from the plight that is being portrayed. A reasonable person will pose the question, if the above is true, and our physical birth into this world is only the first stage of the necessary threefold birth process, then how are the succeeding stages of birth brought about? Moreover, If we are presently dwelling within the reality of a feminine world immersed in the process of the second stage of birth, then how does this birth reality manifest in the life that we are living at the present time? While in the past these questions could only be answered by seeking to learn from a true spiritually enlightened soul, in our present time man has gotten some assistance by applying the findings of the modern physicist as presented in the above, along with the esoteric knowledge of the mystic Gnostic that has been suppressed by the Church. That there exists a spiritual DNA to creation that is represented in a divine pattern part of which modern science portrays as a holographic reality that is not readily understood by most people indicates that every fragment of creation, allegorically, contains the same pattern as the whole. If, as the scriptures suggest, that Creator God made man in his image as male and female, and God is himself male and female, then this divine pattern permeates all of creation from the macrocosm of the cosmic mind of the universe, down into every part of the microcosm. See image at right. In spiritual alchemy, what is portrayed as the fires of the tribulations of this life is in fact the process of purifications that merge the dynamic male and female forces into harmony and oneness. See image at left. In the process of physical conception, the male sperm, which is genetically XY, that is, both male and female splits, and the gender of the child is determined by which polarity of the split sperm fertilizes the egg. Fertility experts know that you can attempt to control the gender of the child, because the male half of the split sperm is faster, but has a shorter lifespan than the feminine half of the split sperm. Thus, it is important to recognize that male and female is not only different, but often opposite, even on the most basic of genetic levels of being. Therefore, spiritual alchemy, that is the wisdom of those who possess the divine manna of man's higher soul and spiritual reality, which is portrayed as Gnosis, is brought about through the conscious development of the male and female dynamic forces within the divine pattern of creation. In many esoteric alchemical drawings, what is depicted is the oneness of man and woman, and once a person comes to possess this esoteric knowledge, the disciple comes to understand that all that is needed to evolve through all the stages of birth already exists within the innate potential in the power and duality of man and woman. In the alchemical drawing at the left, notice that there is a field which surrounds both the man and woman, and it is this field that has been recently discovered by modern physics as the source of the physical. And it is within this field that is the mind, that must be expanded beyond organic limitations. With respect to the above, it is this field where the heightening and enlargement of human consciousness must take place in a feminine world through the proper interaction of the male/female dynamic forces of creation. And it is this process of achieving the next stages of birth that Jesus made reference to in the words. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What this means is that, from a higher spiritual perspective, your physical body began its journey as the ovum that was released into your mother's womb, which itself split upon becoming ripe and ready for fertilization. While each woman is born with countless eggs/ovum, only those that divide and become fertilized by either the male, Y, or female, X, halves of the split sperm, and begin to develop, have the opportunity to become a fetus. If the ovum that is released into the womb is not fertilized, it cannot even begin to develop. If it is united with the opposite polarity as represented in the sperm of the male, then it has the opportunity to grow and develop into a fetus. Yet, regardless of the fact that this process is common knowledge today, few people have even begun to apply what is already known on a physical level. With the process of second birth that Jesus states we are presently immersed in, a process that Paul warned that even congregations of Christian faithful believers will reject as utter foolishness.